Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We are slightly sleep-deprived, but not too much, since we got the result we were hoping for and actually came to expect by the time the votes were counted. Tuesday night in Wisconsin, Scott Walker winning by 53-46%, surviving the recall, the first governor ever in this nation to do that. And so we have some good sound all the way around here, some of which is from Walker himself, some of which is just entertaining, to say the least. Here's Scott Walker declaring victory on Tuesday night.
Tonight we tell Wisconsin, we tell our country, and we tell people all across the globe that voters really do want leaders who stand up and make the tough decisions.
Seems like a cogent argument, Jim. Here's a Barrett supporter, and probably more proper to characterize a Walker opponent on CNN.
I'm very emotional because we all had a lot invested in this. This was it. If we didn't win tonight, the end of the USA as we know it just happened. That's it. We just got outspent $34 million to $4 million. And we don't have any other resource left but the people you see here behind me. And if the people you see here behind me can't get it done tonight, it's done. Democracy's dead.
So Jim, I just want to give this guy a little bit of common sense, a little bit of consolation from a very reasonable voice.
This is a great night for democracy because the turnout was terrific, and I think Americans have to celebrate that.
If Ed Schultz is the guy who's trying to put in some common sense here, and he had some dandies himself saying that Scott Walker could be indicted soon and things like that. But, Jim, you were planning to watch MSNBC. You got some of what you wanted there, and it was obviously a great night for Scott Walker.
It was a sweet, sweet night of watching the tears of others, including that gentleman on CNN. I believe that was, according to this, the cryon on the bottom of the screen, Greg, it said that that was a Private Hudson from Aliens who said, "Game over, man, game over. We're in some real deep stuff now." It was wonderful. It was sweet. It was resounding. It's been very, very enjoyable to watch the really lame spin coming from the media, from the Obama campaign, from liberal bloggers, et cetera, et cetera. Is there any silver lining for the Democrats? We'll get to that in the bad martini. But just going to observe, the exit polls there said that when asked people for their presidential preference, they had Obama up by 6. But those same exit polls had it a toss-up, and the final results had Walker up by 7. So you do the math, Greg, that actually put Romney up 1. It's the same ratio is in works there. I don't think we should say Wisconsin is now in the Romney column. Even the Obama campaign in a video they did earlier this week said that it was a toss-up, and I think you can say it's a toss-up. What's really good news for Mitt Romney and Republicans across the country is that let's apply this kind of a shift to a state that Obama won by 13, 14 points in 2008, that's a very dramatic shift. Now, you might argue because of the excessive recalls, because of the protests, because of the state legislative Democrats running away, because of 7 elections in 1 year, that the mood in Wisconsin is more dramatically shifting to the right than in other states. Okay, fine. No less than Debbie Wasserman Schultz said that this was the tryout, this was the dry run of the turnout operations for the Democrats. And I know that Reince Priebus and everybody at the RNC and the Tea Parties and all these groups really saw this as their test run for November. And I think it's safe to say when you look at Scott Walker winning more votes last night than he did in 2010, the Republican get out the vote operations is working like gangbusters. It is super duper fantastic. That doesn't guarantee that Mitt Romney will win this state in November. I think it seems to say that if that happens, this state's going to be in play in November. And if Obama has to spend money to defend 11 electoral votes that he won by 13, 14 points back in 2008, that's a fantastic sign for Mitt Romney. Beyond that, I think this demonstrates that unions are not they are a paper tiger. They are not the political force they've always been believed to be. We saw the numbers from the public sector union that their membership had dropped by more than half once the government stopped taking out the dues for themselves. I think every Republican governor should be enacting this right now. And when Ed Schultz goes into tears and he says this is the end of the Democratic Party and all that stuff, we may be looking at a future of public sector unions being in the neighborhood of half as powerful, as having half as many members, half as many dues, half as money ability to get out the vote for their side. And that would dramatically alter the state of politics in a lot of states across the country. So Bravo to Scott Walker. Bravo to all of his friends and allies who worked in Wisconsin. This is a sweet, sweet win. We'll have to get back to work sooner or later, but this is a moment to savor if you're a conservative, because you don't, you know, as Jonah Goldberg put it earlier this morning, this is not sliding down the slippery slope. This is actually pushing the stone back up the slippery slope. And there are times it may feel like we're Sisyphus, but, you know, the things do not always move in one direction in this country. We're not standing athwart history yelling stop. We're actually pushing the growth of the public sector unions back in a way that I think they never, ever expected to happen.
It is a bright, sunshiny day in the world of conservatism today. But with the bad martini, we do have to mention just a couple of things. First of all, in addition to Walker winning handily, the lieutenant governor also won handily. That's good. But it looks like the Democrats may have won the state Senate in Wisconsin, which could mean that there's going to be a great slowdown to the rest of Scott Walker's agenda. So we'll see if those
Greg,
results
let me give you a little bit. Let me give you important news on that front.
Okay.
Do you know what that control of the state Senate gets them at this time?
What's that?
Nothing. The state Senate is adjourned for the remainder of the year. So technically, now that they control it, they could convene another session, but Republicans still control the state House and Walker still has a veto. So they can't really change anything. They have sort of they could reconvene to hold a tantrum type session. and because it's Wisconsin Democrats we're talking about, it's not that unthinkable, but no one should really be that worried about this. This is not going to change anything legislatively. From now on, in November, Republicans are expected to gain at least 2 seats through redistricting. So this is a very temporary silver lining moral victory for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, we certainly hope so. Good clarification there. You're right. Back in 2008, when these seats that'll be up this year were up, the Democrats obviously had a big year because Democrats had a big year in a lot of different places. So definitely let's hope Republicans get that back and the Walker path can continue to move forward in Wisconsin. One thing that you and I also talked about, Jim, and we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for a bad martini here, and that's that, and you talked about this in the good martini, that the union effort didn't work, obviously, in terms of rallying support, even busing in people from other states to provide the so-called grassroots didn't work. But the Obama folks did get a pretty good look at what's not working, and that means they have several months to improve their efforts, although they've got a pretty lousy message to work with.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to find out that you have that the one of your principal political allies can't get out the vote the way they used to be able to, and that your messages are falling flat and that public your communications messages are not working, et cetera, you would want this to happen to you 5 months before Election Day, then on Election Day. And I think it's safe to say that Wisconsin Democrats and the Obama campaign will not be blindsided by the Republican get-out-the-vote effort in November. I'll take it. I think it's a fair trade. But it's kind of fascinating that now the Obama campaign has 5 months to try to if I were them, I'd be scrapping everything they put into effect for this campaign. I suppose we should give them a little bit of credit that Barrett did increase his total a little bit. They got the turnout they wanted in some of the key places in Milwaukee and Madison and such. They just didn't, you know, weren't ready for the deluge, the overwhelming turnout that came out in the Republican sections of the state. And Walker won the independents by about 55 to 45. This is a pretty bad problem for the Obama campaign. The upside for David Axelrod is that this happened now instead of November, and they have 5 months to at least try something to mitigate things and keep Wisconsin in the blue column for themselves.
On to martini number three now, and the crazy martini. You knew it would come from the White House. In fact, it started even before the votes were counted because the polls were pretty clear. The National Democrats decided not to play ball. The president's involvement in the race resulted in a tweet, and so they knew this was going to happen, and so the damage control started long before the race was called. But Jay Carney at the podium saying, quote, "A race where one side is outspending the other by a ratio of at least 8-1 probably won't tell us much about a future race." Well, you've already talked about how the exit polls were skewed pretty significantly by about 6 or 7 points. What the exit polls thought was a dead heat basically turned out to be a comfortable win for Scott Walker, pretty much by the same percentage that Obama beat John McCain in 2008. And that means that the exit polls showing Obama with about that size of a win over Mitt Romney potentially in Wisconsin doesn't necessarily hold as much weight as we thought when the exit polls first came out. So nice spin, but I think Jim Messina pretty much gave up the secret the other day, Jim, when he admitted Wisconsin was in play.
It is in play, and I guess I have a smidgen of sympathy for the Obama campaign because, look, Greg, how else are they supposed to spin this thing?
Right.
There is no good, easy spin. When I saw David Axelrod tweeting last night that the results suggested big trouble for the Romney campaign, I tweeted in response, friends don't let friends drink and tweet. And I have a certain sympathy that at some point someone really does need to stage an intervention to David Axelrod when he has these impulses to put out messages like that. Now, I'll leave a semi-serious note for the crazy martini, Greg, just kind of close on. Look, David Axelrod hasn't run a lot of re-election campaigns, and everybody knows his traits. We've all seen the similarities between the Deval Patrick campaign and the Barack Obama campaign. It's always about hope and change. It's always about don't tell me the words don't matter, yada, yada, yada. David Axelrod is in a different spot than he's ever been in his elections before. He's not used to trying to reelect an embattled incumbent. He's not usually having a record to run on. It's usually all about the future. David Axelrod may not know what to do now. He may really be in a situation where nothing he's done in the past is working now. I think it's safe to say you look at the attacks on Romney over Bain, the attacks on Romney over the gubernatorial years, the spin we keep seeing. I see Obama's doing 3 fundraisers today. Do you want to be out doing high-dollar fundraisers after a day like yesterday? Do you want to go out and do the Vogue magazine one the day the bad unemployment numbers come out? I think the relentless fundraising represents the fact that the Obama campaign doesn't know what else to do other than a relentless, you know, try to spend their way out of this problem, which generally is their MO for most problems, Greg, is to right. spend their way out of it. They're in, you know, deep trouble, I think. And it's kind of interesting to see David Axelrod, who was celebrated as a genius. And look, you know, beating Hillary in the primary was not necessarily an easy task to do. But I think the answer is that, look, you look a lot smarter when the wind is at your back than when the wind is in your face. And the biggest difference between now and 2008 is that in 2008, the wind was at Obama's back. The country was tired of Bush and ready for a change. And this year, the wind is in their face. We're not, the public is not happy with what they've gotten, and they're looking for a change. So we'll see if Axelrod can think his way out of this. But I don't see many easy options for him, and I think he may be staring at a blank screen every day and trying to figure out what the heck he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I think you may be right about that. And anytime your campaign manager or whatever his official title is in the news as much as him, not as being the spokesman for the campaign, but being the story, that's also not good, especially when it's the type of stories that Axelrod's been involved with you know, Eric Holder and his press conference up in Massachusetts. It's just not going well at all. And that's probably a second good martini today, if anything. So. Jim?
We have excessive good martinis today.
Yeah, we got a lot of great martinis. Stop on by, and they're on the house today. So, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you on Monday. I know you're out the next couple days.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you on Monday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.